Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this episode, we're going to take a look at the question of being a spiritual seeker. Is this good or is this bad? I see a lot of confusion about this topic of spiritual seeking. A lot of people out there are falling into one of two traps with spiritual seeking. That's what I want to take a look at here. And I also want to give you three rules for how to do spiritual seeking properly so you don't get lost. So the problem here goes like this. For example, I've talked to people who know about spirituality and they know about enlightenment, but they say something to me like this: well, yes, Leo, I know about these things, but I don't want to like turn into one of those spiritual seeker types. You know, they stereotype the spiritual seeker. I don't want to be one of those sheep that goes around searching for something so desperately. That's their argument. Also, what I see is that even enlightened people, people who are already very enlightened, what they tend to do is they tend to dismiss their own journey, and then they tend to dissuade people from becoming spiritual seekers. Now, actually, you have two types of enlightened people, some which want you to become a seeker and others that tell you, no, you shouldn't become a seeker. And they tell you stuff like, well, you shouldn't become a seeker because enlightenment, basically, you start seeking something and then you go full circle and you realize that what you were seeking was there the whole time. So in a sense, you've gone full circle and you haven't really accomplished anything. So just call off the search right from the start. Save yourself the trouble. There's that line of thinking. Then there's other types of people that say something like, well, enlightenment is easy, Leo. Like, I watched some of your other videos that talk about how difficult enlightenment is and how it takes 1,000 hours to get enlightened. It's like, no, none of that. Enlightenment is very easy. All you got to do is you just got to be present, got to be in the moment. That's all it really is. Don't make it too complicated. So there's that line of reasoning. Then some people tell you that you're already enlightened. They say that everyone's already enlightened as they are. All you got to do is just realize it. So then there's that line of thinking. And then there's even some teachers that say that there's no such thing as enlightenment. Enlightenment is just an illusion. Even talking about it is already creating this fantasy in one's mind that then one tries to pursue, which is the exact opposite of what enlightenment should be about. So you have all these different lines of reasoning, and maybe you've run across this in comments under my videos. People leave me comments like this all the time. Or maybe you even read it in books from people that you kind of respect, like serious authors or supposedly enlightened people. So what do we do with these lines of reasoning? Well, look, it's very simple for me. In my mind, it's a very pragmatic matter. Like, I don't like to beat around the bush. I like to just be very pragmatic about this thing. The fact is that you're not enlightened until you're enlightened. And in a sense, yes, enlightenment is easy, but in a sense, also, enlightenment is very, very challenging. In fact, I just got back from a workshop where I did over 70 hours straight of intense enlightenment contemplation. This was so grueling. It is unbelievable. One of the hardest things I've done in my life. It's like a military boot camp style of a workshop. This was not one of your little cozy relaxation retreats. Towards the end of the workshop, I literally became physically ill. It felt like I had food poisoning. Not because I had food poisoning and not because I was just tired, but simply because I was working so hard on this, just like burning through my mind, trying to exhaust my rational mind to break through to enlightenment. And I didn't break through, but it was a very eye-opening experience. And just goes to show that this can be a very hardcore path for those that want to make it hardcore. So what do we make of this? Okay, so here's what I think about this. If you don't seek, practically speaking, if you do not become a seeker, you will not become enlightened. Also, if we take a look at people throughout history and modern masters who are very enlightened, what you will see is that they were strong seekers themselves. They did not pussyfoot around, and they didn't mind being labeled a seeker. and they didn't mind going in circles. In fact, most of their paths were very circular and very windy. It wasn't a straight road. That's how it tends to be. And the reason that is because enlightenment is basically the hero's journey. And the hero's journey is often circular. In fact, some of the most beautiful hero's journeys are circular. But just because a journey is circular, note that that doesn't make it invalid. This is where some of these people, I think, have faulty reasoning about this, is that they think that, well, just because I went in a circle, you know, I could have just eliminated that circle. But that's not true. That's just not true. In fact, if we take a look at some examples of hero's journeys, we see that the power of the journey is in the fact that it's circular. There's something beautiful about that. There's something very true about that. That's how life works. It tends to work in circles. You can notice if you study math or science or physics that a lot of phenomena in nature is circular. There's a lot of periodic and cyclical sine wave type functions that happen all throughout nature, from the way that a spring moves to the way that a planet orbits a star to the way that a star orbits a black hole and so forth. Have you ever read the book called The Alchemist? It's a really popular book. Recommend that you read it. It's on my book list. And The Alchemist is just like this beautiful story of a young shepherd's boy in Spain that has to go through this journey through northern Africa, and he has all these trials and tribulations, and then finally he ends up going to Egypt to see the pyramids because he's looking for his treasure. And he's not even sure what the treasure is, but he just has this calling to go to Egypt to find his treasure at the pyramids. And so he goes through this long journey, and then in the end, and it has this beautiful beautiful resolution at the very end that I don't want to spoil, but basically what he discovers is this boy discovers that, oh, my treasure was at home waiting for me the whole time. And now you read that and you might think, well, so was the whole journey pointless? And of course, no, the journey wasn't pointless. The journey was the thing that was necessary for him to realize, like, oh, now I can come back home and I can finally understand that it was there the whole time. And there's something very poetic about that. It's beautiful. That's how some of the best heroes' journeys tend to work. Personally, in my own life, as an example of this, I got very interested in philosophy and seeking truth when I was even still in high school. And so for about 4 years, the end of high school, all the way through college, I got really interested in philosophy. I started reading books on epistemology. That's the theory of knowledge. And I started studying that because I thought that, well, I have a treasure to find there. I need to find, like, what is the ultimate theory of life? What is the truth in life? And I felt like philosophy and epistemology could show me the way. And so what I did, and I went through a whole philosophy training program at university, read lots of books, was really serious about it, spent a lot of time thinking about it on my own, taking notes and this kind of stuff. And then finally, what I realized is like, oh, philosophy is just models and theories and beliefs, and that none of these can get me what I was ultimately searching for. In a sense, I kind of discovered that philosophy was mental masturbation and the ego doing its thing to trying to understand things that it really can't understand. And that was when I said to myself, okay, well, I'm kind of done with philosophy now. In fact, I wanted to become a philosophy professor, but when I realized this, I'm like, well, I can't really be a philosophy professor anymore because I realized the emptiness of philosophy. Now, you might listen to that, you might think, well, so Leo, you wasted 4 years of your life going through this thing just to realize that philosophy was all for nothing? And of course, the answer is no. I went in a circle and I came back, but I kind of came back to where I originally started, but now with a deeper realization, a new perspective. And that's exactly how the hero's journey works. The hero, he leaves home. He leaves home, he goes into the unknown, into uncharted territory. He goes through trials and tribulations and he experiences difficulties. And it all seems so important and so serious for him at the time. And he goes through all that, and in the end, what does he get? He's after treasure. metaphorically speaking, but really, he doesn't get treasure. The treasure is just a metaphor for what he really gets, which is he gets insight. He gets perspective. And in the end, the hero, he has to come back home. He doesn't stay on the journey forever, and the journey doesn't take him to some magical new land where he now lives. No, he comes back home. But when he comes back home with a new perspective on life. And then what he does, he shares that perspective with all the people that were there the whole time. And in a sense, he goes full circle. But now, when he's back home, even though it looks like his circumstances haven't really changed much, they've changed, in a sense, completely, because now his perspective on life and his perspective on those circumstances has changed. But to get that shift in perspective, he had to go through the journey. You can't just assume that you can't go through the cycle. And that's where I think that a lot of even enlightened masters will make a mistake when they tell seekers to stop seeking. Because in practice, what I find is that if you tell a seeker to stop seeking, what they do is they just say, oh, okay, I should just stop seeking and just fall back into my normal everyday life. And when they do that, basically they get nowhere and they don't get enlightened and they don't get that new perspective that they need. Sometimes in life, you have to go through a lot of bullshit and a lot of stuff that seems like dead ends, like tangents, but in fact, they're not. Those are all necessary. Those are all part of your journey. And one of the things that I discovered lately in talking to more and more enlightened people and just comparing different perspectives and comparing different paths that different people have taken to become enlightened, it just becomes apparent that enlightenment is a very personal journey. We all have our own inner demons and bullshits that we have to deal with. And for some people, that just means that they start somewhere, they go for 5 or 10 years off on a tangent, some dead end it looks like, and then they hit a dead end, and then finally they say, oh, I was wrong all these 10 years. And then that's enough to finally put them back on track, and then they finally get somewhere where they really need to get to, right? And now it's very easy to say, well, so those 10 years were all wasted and lost. But not really. If you needed those 10 years of going down a dead end to finally have your emotions click or your mind realize something like, oh, shit, I was wrong this whole time. Or it's like, oh, I've been deluded or I've been misguided or whatever. Then that's just your path. That's what you need. Don't dismiss that. Realize also that life itself is a circle. Your life. Where do you start in life? You start in life basically dead. You start nowhere. You start as nothing. Have you realized this? You start in life as nothing before you're born. You're literally nothing. Then you're born and you're alive. And then you realize that you're conscious. And then you grow up and then you mature. And then you go through all the trials and tribulations of life. And then you become old. And then you deal with that, and then you have diseases and you overcome those, or you don't, and eventually, no matter how good or healthy you are, you die and you return back to nothing. So you start at nothing and you return back to nothing. And that's how life is, the circle of life. So this is something that you just have to accept if you're going to live life and you're going to live it well, right? Is that we have these circles, and in a sense, they're meaningless and pointless circles. But also, that's just kind of like life. It's like a play. It's just like a ballet. It's life for the sake of life, not for the sake of anything else. And if you really start to contemplate this, you realize, well, how else could it be? Why would we want it to be any other way? This is, in fact, a good thing. Imagine, if you will, Luke Skywalker. Imagine if you took Luke Skywalker's journey. He is the prototypical hero's journey. And he goes and he does what? He develops new skills and he meets new people and he meets new friends and he makes new enemies and he gets mentors and training and he has battles and fights, and this happens on and on and on in the Star Wars universe. And he goes through 3 episodes of this, and then finally he has the confrontation with Vader and the Emperor. So what if someone just comes in and says, well, why have Luke go through all those steps and all those battles and all those trials and tribulations? Why not just have him go straight from Tatooine and fly in an X-Wing straight to Vader and just confront Vader right off the bat? That would be the direct path. Everything else is extraneous and unnecessary. But of course, that's to not understand the hero's journey. Luke couldn't have done that. He needed insights and realization and skills and techniques. He needed to meet friends and he needed to make new enemies. He needed to go through all that in order to finally build himself up to face Vader. He couldn't face Vader straight off the bat. He would have lost the battle. He needed to develop himself. He probably wouldn't have even had the courage and the knowledge of facing Vader, simply by not even realizing that Vader was his father and that he needed to be faced. So these kind of realizations that, oh, I got to face this problem in my life, or it's like, oh, I've been afraid of this my whole life, and now I finally realize that it was fear that was holding me back, and now I need to confront my fear. Or maybe it's like you've had this obstacle that you've been hitting your head against the wall for a decade, and finally you realize, like, oh shit, you know, I'm fed up with this, and I'm gonna actually make a significant structural change to my life to overcome this obstacle forever. Kind of that that getting fed up with hitting your head against the wall kind of feeling. So all of those kinds of things, these are things that need to develop. It's like your mind needs to work through that shit. And on the path of enlightenment, your mind is going to have to work through a lot of personal shit that you have in your life. And what I've realized lately is that our paths are very unique and different. And just because one enlightened person did it this way, or some other enlightened person did it that way, and then they tell you, hey, do it my way or do it this way, and you don't need all the other stuff, that's not necessarily going to work for you. It might have worked for them, but it might not work for you because you're a different individual and you have different problems. You have different neuroses that you have to deal with. You have different types of fears. You have different life trauma that you went through as a kid. And you're carrying around all this baggage, and one way or another, you have to shed this baggage. How are you going to do it? Well, through spiritual seeking. You're going to conquer your own inner demons. Let me give you three rules, though, for how to become a spiritual seeker and not get lost. Because it's true that a lot of spiritual seekers do get lost. And there is something about this idea that, hey, you know, you don't really want to make an identity out of becoming a spiritual seeker. So here are three rules to make this work for you. Number one, realize that on this journey, it will be a cycle that ends back where you started. So if you think you're going to go somewhere and do something and then live in some magical land, that's not how it's going to go. How it's going to go is that you have your life and you're going to go and you're going to meet new people and teachers and read books and this and that and maybe even travel to another country and live in an ashram or whatever. And then you're going to come back home and you're going to realize, like, oh, okay, I'm enlightened now and I have to come back home, kind of thing. So just set up that expectation right from the very beginning so you're not under this illusion that, oh, there's some treasure out there somewhere else that I have to find. No, the treasure is already inside you. You just need to get in touch with it. Enlightenment is an inner realization. It's a shift in perspective. And this is not to be confused with changing the circumstances of your life. Just because you go live in an ashram somewhere, or you start meditating in a cave, or you move to another country, and you think that that is going to, like, be the thing? No, that's just a change in circumstances. The thing is when it really clicks in your mind. So just realize that. You are going to go in a full circle. The second rule that I have for you is seek techniques. Don't seek beliefs. So many people get lost here. What they think the spiritual path is like, oh, I'm going to go and talk to this guru over there. And I'm going to go meditate with this guy over here, and I'm going to read that book over there, and I'm going to suck up all this information, I'm going to start believing it, I'm going to build up a whole model in my mind about it, and basically what's going to happen is that you're going to become dogmatic. Don't fall into that trap. Very dangerous. Enlightenment is about finding the truth for yourself, independent, completely independent of what other people say, or what other schools say, or what Buddhism says, or what Christianity says, or what Judaism says, or any other school says. You're not going to find it in any book, and you're not going to find it from the words of any teacher. You have to find it yourself. It's an inner journey. That's where the journey comes in. But most people, what they think the journey is, they think it's a journey of reading and processing information and figuring this out with their logical mind. And while there's some use in that, that's not ultimately going to get you there. And in fact, it can really get you trapped, and it can really damage your life. This is where people start to get caught up in cults and weird religious practices and new age hippie thinking and just all sorts of crazy and stupid stuff. Really good spiritual teachers, and this is something I learned from Russell Scott, who's an enlightenment master, and he's been teaching people about this stuff for 30 or 40 years, so he's got a lot of experience with this. But he says, really good spiritual teachers, they teach techniques and not beliefs and not dogma. So that's a really good mark or a litmus test for finding quality spiritual teachers. Does your spiritual teacher actually give you the techniques you need to figure it out for yourself and in fact try to withhold the answers? Really good spiritual teachers, they withhold the answers. You ask them questions, and what they do is they actually deflect your questions, or they remain silent, or they look at you and they give you a kind of a stare, or a weird look, or a cheeky smile, something like that to get you to realize, like, hey, I can't give you the answer, you have to find it for yourself. But that's what the human mind wants, is that our mind wants easy, ready-made answers. But that's a huge trap in this work, so don't fall into that one. And the third rule is, and this is something that I think is very important that even a lot of enlightened masters don't do, is you have to compare and contrast perspectives, different perspectives within spirituality. So the spirituality is a broad spectrum. There's a broad spectrum of traditions. You've got Christianity, you've got Judaism, you've got Buddhism, you've got yoga, you've got Sufism, you've got Islam, you've got all this stuff, and these are major religions, but each of these major religions also has a hardcore mystical core. So the major religious stuff, that's mostly bullshit. Then you've got the hardcore mystical esoteric nugget within each one of those traditions, which actually has some good techniques and truths in there. But even that is very dogmatic stuff. And even that is just only a partial facet of the thing that you're actually looking for. So what I find very important that almost nobody does is you have to go and investigate each one of these. Really take a look at all the different schools, all the different techniques out there, without getting hooked on any single one of them. This is very difficult to do for most people because their mind is looking for ready-made answers, like I said before, and they just find one thing and they just kind of like fall in love with it. And then they just think like, oh, this is my path, and this is the only path, and they just commit themselves to this path. And they might even become enlightened by committing themselves to one path. But the problem is that their enlightenment is going to be lacking. It's going to be partial, because they don't see that this is just one path out of many paths, and that in fact no one path really gets you everything. You need to investigate multiple paths and kind of piece it all together like a giant jigsaw puzzle. That's personally what I'm doing in my life. And this is very difficult to do because when you start doing this, there's going to be a lot of pressure socially from the outside for you not to do this. For example, you go to Zen, and if you learn Zen, and then you say, hey, you know, guys, Zen is great, but let's go compare how Zen works with how yoga works, or how Christianity works, or some other spiritual practice works. The Zen people will look at you like you're betraying them, right? They're not going to want to do that. They don't want to do this comparing and contrasting. Likewise, it doesn't matter where you start. I wouldn't say all, but many, many spiritual traditions will not want to do this comparing and contrasting because that that disturbs their dogma. They don't want to do that. They have preconceived beliefs about how their path is the right path, how it's the only path, how it's the best possible path. and they don't want to hear anything else because they've already been hooked by this stuff. So you need to be careful about not getting hooked by it. I found that even teachers who are very enlightened, who are dogma-free, so to speak, it's very difficult to just sit down with them and to get them to start comparing and contrasting one tradition with another tradition. And I think that that's the a real true mark of a really high quality spiritual teacher, is that they have studied multiple perspectives. And in a sense, on the Graves model, I have an episode that talks about the Graves model. They're yellow, which means that they're not buying into any one absolute truth, but they're kind of piecing together partial truths and partial perspectives. And that's what you need to be here when you're on this path, is you need to be yellow instead of being blue. Blue is really dogmatic. You don't want that. I found that it's really difficult, even with very open-minded teachers, to get them to start comparing and contrasting. They just have like an inclination to not want to do that stuff. In a sense, it's because it can slow you down. Because just by comparing and contrasting different perspectives, that you're not going to become enlightened that way. But what I'm going on in my own life is that if I do compare and contrast all these different perspectives, I'm going to have a much richer enlightenment. Even though it's going to take me longer, it's going to involve a lot more work and a lot more mental strain to put all these pieces together. It's a very complex jigsaw puzzle that you're putting together, because you have to sort through a lot of bullshit. But when you do put it all together, I think what you're going to have is you're going to have a much richer enlightenment in the end. And you're going to get what you really wanted. You're going to get a more complete understanding, a fuller picture. And it's going to be well worth it. And you're going to avoid all the dogma that people usually get trapped in. All right, those are my three rules. So don't shy away from being a spiritual seeker. Just make sure that you avoid many of the traps along the way. I'm signing off. Go ahead, post me your comments down below. Please click the like button, share this video with a friend, and come sign up to actualize.org. Check out the website. I got a free newsletter there, some exclusive videos, book list, course about how to find your life purpose. You might be interested in that. But the reason you want to stay on board is because I really want to help you to develop a really deep, rich understanding of life. When you have this, when you have this psychological understanding, not just theoretically, but very practically, what you're going to find is that you're going to be able to create the kind of fulfillment in life that virtually nobody in life has. Even people that are super successful do not understand these concepts and do not get this fulfillment. And I can guarantee you that unless you study this material and you integrate and learn all this stuff, you're not going to have a satisfying life. I want to help you to have a really satisfying life, for real. Not bullshit. This is not marketing gimmicks and little magic pills and shortcuts. I really want to help you to find a satisfying life, and I want you to die happy in your life, which is something that very few people ever achieve. What my promise is to you is that if you stick around and you watch these videos or you listen to these episodes every single week, slowly over the course of a couple of years, you're chipping away at this, you're going to start to enjoy this, you're going to become a self-help junkie, but also your life is going to improve, and it's going to improve in just a couple of years in ways that you probably haven't even imagined are possible. You're going to have major life-altering realizations and epiphanies and aha moments, and maybe eventually you can find your enlightenment. So sign up, and I'll see you soon.